Howdy, partners. Welcome back, Will. We got Will Taylor and a special guest who we'll get to in a second. Will, how are you doing?
I'm feeling refreshed, and I'm ready for like conferences, going to SaaS Connect in, when this comes out, it'll be in a week. So I'm excited for that. For anyone who didn't see it yet, we're going to be in some silly outfits from Partner Hacker.
Of course.
You'll see us with our tracksuits on with the Partner Hacker logo. So take a look out for that. And hey, maybe we'll put you on the podcast next time.
And then we've got Michael on the call today. So just to set the tone, we're going to be talking about the Salesforce ecosystem and a super powerful and super exciting topic. But I'm going to hand it over to Michael. Michael, welcome to the show. Give us a quick intro of who you are, what you do, and we'll kick right into it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for the intro, Tom. I'm super excited to be here. Again, my name is Michael. I work at a delegate. I lead our partnerships and alliances team here. So anything Salesforce partnerships, technology partnerships, as well as, you know, diving into affiliates. So yeah, excited to be here and happy to chat.
Yeah, and Michael, when you and I last chatted, we were talking about your journey into this role. You were at Chili Piper before, and you were at another company before that. Tell us a bit about your journey into partnerships and where you're at now, and some of the like background on, you know, what you'll be sharing with us.
Yeah, interesting, right? I don't think anyone kind of, you know, graduates college and falls in like, hey, like partnerships is the place I want to be, or like I don't really know. We're slowly breaking the surface. I started off as an AE, right? Naturally just selling at Robert Half. From there, one of my buddies, Zach Parker, was like, hey man, do you want to jump over to DocuSign? There's this SDR role. I was like, well, we're not really closing. You're just actually setting up meeting. I'm like, what does that mean? what does that mean? So jumped over to DocuSign and was there for about 2.5 years. Starting off as an MDR and then graduated to, it was, you know, three paths you can go. You can go be an SE, you can go be an AE, you know, which is like, great, I can go be an AE. Or we're trying to build a partner team here at DocuSign. And the whole goal was DocuSign was, you know, trying to go from $1 billion in revenue to 5. And like the whole idea is like, great, you know, you don't do it through hiring a bunch of SDRs and AEs, you do the partnerships. So I was able to kind of pioneer the space. Shout out to Andrea Ryder, Jessica Winston, you know, my managers that, you know, helped me on the partner side. But I think we were maybe like a team of 10, right? From a company that had 7,000 individuals, but two APAC, right? In EMEA, and then the rest was here in the US. So yeah, started off as just Salesforce. You know, working with Salesforce AEs and like co-selling DocuSign for Salesforce opportunities, joint opportunities, how do we increase ACV, MRR? And then from there, I actually switched to resellers. So Ingram Micro, SHI, a real true channel reseller motion, and working with like these big reseller channels of how to sell software and hardware together. Fast forward to about a year and a half ago, I got to help pioneer Chili Piper's partner program, which I learned a bunch from working with many partners, recruiting partners. Anthony, my previous manager, is, you know, amazing person to work with, super knowledgeable in the space. And obviously with Chili Piper's loud brand, I got to like experience almost like just a dream, I guess, to think of, which is where we traveled and everything, all the cool stuff that they're doing over there. But yeah, fast forward now, you know, it's interesting to be on the services side. Right, I'm not selling a product. It's, you know, got to get in there and really understand a go-to-market and business systems. And yeah, and in here at Delegate, we're a Salesforce consultancy partner, all US-based, primarily focused on B2B SaaS, a little bit of finance as well. So our approach is a little bit different. So we don't work off SOWs or bill hours. We actually work off tactical weekly sprints with our customers. So what do you need to get done today as quickly as possible in your technology roadmap, so you can be successful for not only coming in for the next month, but tomorrow, the next week, right? What can we fix today?
That's so cool. And that's why like all of that experience got me excited about talking to you today and really diving into this, because you've had three roles in the Salesforce ecosystem doing, you know, partner development and some management and then, you know, true channel management at Chili Piper. And now you're on the other side where you are, you know, the partner of the tech partner. And so like, it's so robust, like your understanding of the ecosystem. And so how was it when you were first starting to work with the Salesforce ecosystem on the tech side? What was like your initial like reaction to entering into that world? Probably some excitement, but I bet some people kind of like they get maybe a little bit scared because it's so big. But what was your reaction and how do you feel about working in that ecosystem?
I mean, everything from recruiting the partners, you know, to partner enablement to signing a contract was, you know, really everything from the beginning to the end at Chili Piper. So what I learned really quickly is like, you're not going to be able to work with the partners that you want to work with, which is interesting. It's like, oh yeah, they're definitely going to reach back out to me. And, you know, this is a perfect Salesforce partner. And you'll realize, I think every Salesforce partner is a little bit different, right? Everyone kind of plays their strengths. But I will say that the most successful partners that we had in the ecosystem are the ones that want to try one, new initiatives, right? What are you going to kind of provide? What are the training you're going to provide? But also, you know, how can you help them? I've also, you know, when I was down that rabbit hole, found that if you were able to find a joint customer quickly, you that's a pretty solid relationship right there. Hey, we actually have common customers, right? That's why Crossbeam exists today. But yeah, I mean, Salesforce is definitely a beast. I think originally when I was recruiting Salesforce partners, I was living in Salesforce AppExchange, right? There's a consulting tab right there that you can actually click it, read reviews, you know, see where their work is done. And then I kind of worked backwards. Like, well, I kind of have a big network. Let's see who's working with whoever Salesforce partners today. One, you can do your customers. What Salesforce partners are your customers using today on the Chili Piper side? Then you can kind of, hey, great, does it make sense to have, you know, a partnership with you? You already have some of our customers today. Those are the easiest conversations to have.
That's cool. I think one of the items that stick out to me, because it's so broad, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you're working Salesforce in HubSpot and just like SaaS in general, when you think about the partner that's ready or like the mature organization, whether it's an agency, ISV, doesn't matter. They're adaptable. Like they're approaching new avenues to scale and grow because, you know, for one thing or another, like in their current ecosystem. So let's take a HubSpot agency. You know, if you got on early enough as a HubSpot agency and you scaled out, you know that inbound funnel is very fruitful. But in the same vein, if you're too one-sided, if you're like, no, we only do things within HubSpot, like the enhancing technologies and the tech partnerships that allow HubSpot or Salesforce to scale better means that you need to adapt and look outside of that to be able to focus on other tech environments that allow you to be stronger and just maybe more fail-proof, I guess, for lack of a better term.
You know, the ecosystem looks big, but if you go to that specific tab of the type of partner that you're looking for in that ecosystem, and then, like you said, find the customers that are, you know, in that tab, and then reaching out and trying to partner with them, the translation of, you know, your solution in their mind and the value that it can bring, they're already using it. So I think that's a really good way to focus your efforts and then kind of go from there versus trying to just spray and pray to all of them, even in that one specific tab, and then it just probably doesn't land as well. Your messaging can be much more targeted. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. And I think I learned really quickly is like to work with our CSM team and our SEs at Chili Piper. It's like, hey, account management team, if you are onboarding a new customer and they are using a Salesforce partner or a HubSpot partner, like please ask this in your onboarding. And there's been many times where Brian Lemons, shout out to Brian. Brian would always like, hey, found a potential partner. Let me know what you think. I can make an intro. Warm intro, send email, great conversation. Oh yeah, we have X customer onboarding XYZ. Great. Is that an opportunity for us to go in and maybe find other opportunities as well?
I was just on a call today with Bruno, who now works at Zapier. And it's just the same, like in the organization that I'm in right now at SaaS Labs, like we're trying to revamp how we go to market or just like our partnership programs in general. And aside from like the sheer acquisition play, building strong relationships to just get a pulse and understand that, like, you know, utilize it. That's a great way to approach it, is like, hey, we've got customer coming in through the CSM team, what it's sales, customer success, but is there a secondary lever from a partnership level that you can pull? And it's just all about getting scrappy and thinking outside the box. Like, sometimes that's not going to work, but to your point, as you get like one or two CSMs that understand the value in customers being close to future partners, like, that's huge. And it goes back to your point of saying, here's the quick win, here's the shared customers that we have, and I just did that by reaching out to my team. That's awesome.
And the same thing, I think, with like the AEs, right? I think it's really difficult because in my experience, especially at DocuSign, if we had a partner deal and you had a bad experience with the partner AE, like, you don't want to work with the partner team, like, at all. But if you were one of those AEs that got it right and you understood the value, you were hitting accelerators like so easily, right? And like, you're the first one, like, oh yeah, let's work with the team. So same way, I think, you know, find someone where you can be successful with and try to rinse and repeat.
Yeah, Will, that reminds me, a big shout out to Josh Kirkham, because I feel like, so previously when Will and I worked at Vidyard, I worked at a HubSpot agency that was a Vidyard partner, and he was like the AE that was like, wait, partner referred leads close at what percentage, like, faster? I don't need to do my own demos. Like, he got it. So all AEs out there, like, this is your time to shine. Jump on partner leads right away.
When people think Salesforce and these other ecosystems, they might think that it's like wildly different. And, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But when you were having conversations with your team at, let's say, Chili Piper, because I know there's someone dedicated to the HubSpot ecosystem, what were some of the nuances for, like, when you're talking about the strategies and like riffing with your peers, what came up as some of those nuances or differences? Or again, maybe it's exactly the same and you had a shared experience.
The way we were building out Chili Piper's partner program, Anthony is, you know, who can contest to this the best. But we were in three buckets, right? So we were targeting HubSpot agencies, right, for marketing, and Marketo agency specifically for marketing, but HubSpot, you know, CRM, and then Salesforce. So the way we branched it out was we had three different ecosystems where each manager, you know, was a charger. So HubSpot, Marketo, Jen Marketo, Carl, HubSpot, and then myself for Salesforce. And everyone kind of lived in their own little bubble, but we definitely were trying to do the same thing, right, in terms of line events, co-sell, enablement. And then also what was interesting, like, you can kind of cross paths in the sense of if a HubSpot agency doesn't do Salesforce work, or a Salesforce, you know, shop doesn't do HubSpot work, or Marketo, you can kind of cross synergies between all three of them. I think our roles were very much the same in the terms of we all have the, you know, are at the same goal, we're all measured the same, we're all doing the same partner activities. I would say the language is just a little bit different in terms of Marketo and HubSpot and Salesforce. But then you did find those awesome partners that maybe did all three of them at the same time, which were like, okay, wait, who kind of owns this relationship now? But it was cool, right? If you have like a program like that, I was able to, you know, give Carl HubSpot lead, and Carl was able to give Salesforce leads, right? And I was able for who gets credit, or is it a team credit?
Whenever I think about the big ecosystems, I always think it's probably the same play over and over, where it's like, choose the one category or the tab, focus in, and, you know, most of the processes are going to be the same.
Same title, same role, different ecosystem. I would say they're all very much, you know, you just have to learn how to, they're all different at the end of the day. HubSpot's ecosystem is a beast. Salesforce built their brand off their ecosystem. Then Marketo's, Adobe's been around forever. So,
yeah. And one important thing to note there, though, is there should be one person dedicated to each ecosystem because they are so big. What I feel some partner programs might unfortunately do is they say, okay, you're the partner person, now go do all of the partnerships. When in reality, like, you should dedicate one specific head towards an ecosystem, because, yeah, they're just too big to work within. But then also, I've worked within the Salesforce partner ecosystem, and like working with their portal, I can't say it was like the easiest thing. I also wasn't in it every single day, but even just learning that, I think, is really important for, you know, the one person versus them managing three. So you're on the service side. So what are some of the learnings that you've had, or maybe even like the way that you engage with partners, clients, like the rest of the team and how they view partnerships. What are some of the biggest differences that you're seeing being on this side of the partnership versus being on the tech side?
Yeah, it's super interesting, right? It's like all the things that I thought partners cared about, like don't, which is really interesting. So let's start with, right, you bring on a new Salesforce partner, right? It's easiest if we have, you know, joint customers. But I think the biggest thing is like you can't partner with everyone when you're on the service side. It just doesn't make sense, especially if, you know, our team is maybe a team of 50. There's no way I can partner with everyone. So for myself, I'm working backwards in the sense of what technologies do our customers use? And then let's see if that makes sense to have a partnership. And quite frankly, like a lot of our, I'd probably say today, 80% of our customers are walking in already use lean data. So low-hanging fruit, if we're submitting a deal reg or our, you know, solution engineers are recommending lean data, like, okay, wait, there's a partner program for this. Like, let me like make sure. We don't really care about the revenue share. We just want to make sure that our customers are one, successful. And two, for a partner manager, I want to make sure that we like obviously are getting, you know, credit for that because the partner team of lean data gets credit for that, but also enablement, right? What are the technical people on our team? Is it, you know, the data sheets? Do they need to connect to the other SC on the other side? Who's the CSM? What happens if I need two extra licenses because someone gets routed or the admin leaves? So I think all of that is kind of important on my end, is like making sure we have the resources available. If there's a question in the channel, or there's a technical problem, if something's broken, who can I go to? Where do I go to? Lean Data, super cool. They have a dedicated SC to every one of their agency partners, which I've, you know, not familiar with on the other side. So that's super interesting to work with. And then I think you look at it different. Like, right, I truly live in the Salesforce ecosystem. So I think if on the services side, you know, Salesforce, you're a partner of Salesforce. So trying to earn trust with all the account executives to our customers doesn't mean you're going to, you know, win all of them. But, you know, just to know, like, hey, we're working with your customer. This is the roadmap that they're doing. You know, obviously they may not be buying the high velocity sales over an outreach or a sales lot, but I want to let you know this is kind of the roadmap they're going to. So you can kind of be friendly with them. Frenemies almost sometimes too.
I'm curious because I have the exact opposite experience where I started at a service-based agency, moved into SaaS. So I actually knew a lot of the things that you like come in and in a SaaS company is like, I'll bet an agency cares about this and they don't. Commissions being one of them, like that's mailbox money. But I'm curious, like what are the myths busted on your end in terms of like, what did you think partners really cared about?
I mean, I think I talked to a bunch of partner managers, right? It's the rev share. I think everyone leads with revenue share at the end of the day. If I'm being honest, the way we think is like, revenue share is great and you can give that 15% back to your customer if you want, you know, to show that you're doing like even a discount on the services side. But I think the most valuable thing that's been for myself is the co-marketing. Like we're a pretty small team. The co-marketing, if there's a partner marketing manager that actually lives on the other side, I would love help. I would love help to write a customer success story, help amplify that. I would love help for webinars. I would love help for, you know, we did a lean data in Denver dinner. Weather was horrible, but it was great. Like it was a great time, and we were able to like split the costs and target each other's ICPs. And that's what I've been doing actually recently. I've been asking like, hey, what events are you going to? Is there an opportunity for a dinner? Is there an opportunity for an event that we can tackle? We do have a customer newsletter, so I think, why don't we highlight our partners in our customer newsletter? But I would love ammo to kind of do that. We love collateral to, here's a customer success story. Here's a win. Here's a new use case. Kind of all the things from a small Salesforce shop with trying to meet.
Yeah, for sure. And I would echo like rev share, you know, to most commissions is once again, it's just like a drip in the bucket, but when you think about service partners in general, and this is like very maybe one-sided, but you know, a lot of times agencies are running on very thin margins. Your next year potentially comes with your next client. So going back to the idea of like being multifaceted in how service-based companies approach partnerships allows for, you know, hopefully to build more inbound funnels. So from like a partner management standpoint or a CAM, my goal is to help like uncap or unveil different service levels they can build around that, or different, you know, go-to-market initiatives. You know, selling a customer is one thing. And I think you nailed it on the head, where it's like, you are trying to solve for your customers more than anything else. That means that sometimes you will put a competing product in front of them because of their necessities. And more importantly, like how you scale and succeed is by managing, continually developing services. Like strategic documentation or strategic positioning around products is so important that if service providers or service companies understood, now we're talking like, okay, this is what we're looking for. Love it.
Yeah. And almost, I think you got to realize that everyone that I work with, you know, are, you know, amazing solution architects like that. Like that being said, I think if from a partner manager side on the tech side, like use cases, right? What's like a new use case? Because you can have an awesome product, but I'm not going to know every ins and outs of the new use cases or the new product SKUs that, you know, a new product can have. So it's like, if, you know, if you're a partner manager on the other side, trying to help educate your partners in this room, like, hey, there's a new use case here. I'm not sure if it's convenient for you. One, you can stay top of mind. Two, it's not going to come up until it does. So you can kind of be that, you know, strategic advisor on the partner manager side too.
Awesome. Well, we are coming up on time. I wish we had more time. Maybe we'll do an episode two with you, but we always leave our guests with one tactical tip. And so what would your tactical tip be for anyone who is working within the Salesforce ecosystem? What is that thing that they can implement after they're done listening to this?
You know, being here, I've learned so much, and I've learned that I just can't do it by myself. I feel like there's so many experts in the space that are willing to help that have done it. So I think, you know, if you're working on a project and you're starting from scratch, like I think it's always good opportunity to connect with your peers around you and then outside of the network. Cause I think I've realized that, you know, I have friends that are trying to do the same thing, whether it's, you know, trying to scale a partner program or trying to figure out the best initiatives to work with. And then Salesforce itself, right? It's a beast, you know, like we're not going to be able to go to every conference, sponsor every conference, and we're not going to know everything latest. But I think technology today is community led. Right. So I think if you're able to kind of just put yourselves in the right, you know, shoes, right networking events, right place, right time, it'll help along your journey.
I love that approach. Partnering up, of course, in true partnerships fashion. And I like that. And I mean, I've seen you in the partnership space as well. That's how we got further connected. And I mean, we went up for dinner, we chatted, you know, a bit of partnerships, a bit of fun, and then we reconnect and we talk more partnerships. And so especially for something like that Salesforce ecosystem, I think like that world, and honestly any ecosystem, like you said, it does operate in this community fashion. And so if you are a part of that community, you can be a part of the important conversations, you can meet the important people. So I really, really appreciate that and really want to hammer that for people, where it's like, you know, they don't just say your net worth is your network because it's like corny and it almost rhymes. It actually is real. So
100%.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for your wisdom. And like I said, we'll probably get you back on to get like a 6-month update on being on the other side. But thank you so much for your wisdom and chatting today.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Cheers.